Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. I hope you're feeling smart today because we've got the very smart Dr. Kathy Allen Ovi. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Hi, Deb. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. We are now getting the respect we deserve, us horse lovers.
Yay.
Because it's the year of the horse. What do you think about that, Dr. Kathy?
I think it's pretty exciting. Of course, you know, every year is a good animal, but I guess I can relate to a horse a little bit better than a rooster.
Yes, I have a rooster. I don't have a horse, but it's not the rooster that I dream about when I have dreams of, you know, speed and exhilaration and sandy beaches and the spray flying in my face. No, it's not the rooster I'm thinking of.
Nope.
Well, it's pretty cold in a lot of North America, even right here in Vancouver, where it's usually around, you know, above freezing and raining. Right now, it's really, really cold for us. Ponds are frozen, and if it rains, it's going to snow, not rain. And I know that there's a deep freeze on in the east. So what would your pet wish you knew? If you're living in a cold weather place and your pet's freezing its little butt off, what does it hope you know? What should pet owners know about cold weather and their pets? Can you help us with that, Dr. Kathy?
That's so much fun. So, you know, pets in my mind, dogs are like permanent three-year-old children. And so they look outside and they go, snow, how much fun. And then they get out in it and they realize, holy cow, that's really cold. And then, you know, their little feet warm it up and they stay out there too long and it melts the snow around their toes. And then they've got like frozen water around their toes. Or imagine if they make pee-pee and then that melts the snow and they step in that. So they probably want their parents to know that first thing is how cold it gets on their toes. And sometimes with all the snow, like, boy, we've had some snow this year. So one real nice thing that some of my pet parents are doing is actually shoveling a path out in what used to be grass so they don't have to walk through a foot and a half of snow to go do their business. They can actually just walk out in a little light dusting, get the business done, and come on back inside because play only is good for a few
good
minutes.
Thinking. Like a little bathroom area that's not 4 feet of snow and ice. Nice idea.
Yeah.
And salt isn't the way to go, right? You throw salt on there, your dog's not going to walk on there at all. You might even end up having a dog who goes in the house because it wants to avoid the salt. So,
right. Shovel. And the salt, and as cold as it's been in the Midwest, the temperature's at zero, the salt hardly even works anyway. And so that's not going to do anything for the backyard. The only thing that's going to do is get you a little bit of traction, like on the sidewalks or the deck. But see, that's a really good point you bring up is you want to look at the safety of the salt. If your dog or cat gets a whole bunch of salt on his or her feet and then comes in and cleans off his feet and licks all that salt, what's that do to their body?
That's toxic, isn't it? Especially a little pet.
Exactly. It can be quite toxic. And there are some so-called pet-safe salts out. They're made with urea instead of some kind of salt. There's like 8 different kinds of salts. So urea is like basically the liquid nitrogen that we put on the field. But even that, they say, oh, it's safe. And I think, you know, I know how they make urea. I don't know that I really want my dog walking on that either. So
well, the thing about that is the cheap stuff that's supposed to be bad for your dogs and cats is about $2, right? But the expensive stuff is about $6 or $8 a bag. And, I mean, I'm happy to pay $6 or $8 a bag for expensive stuff, but not if it's no better than the cheap stuff.
Well, and supposedly it doesn't even melt as well. And what happens when you need 10 bags in a week because you've got as much snow and ice as we have here in Indiana? You know, now it starts to be tough. Yeah, and not necessarily, and it's a little bit better, but I'm not sure it's the answer. I've heard of people putting out clay cat litter, but I don't know that I want that on my ground either, and then have to clean it up, and then track it in on my boots, and then have that melt in the house. How
it's a vacuum breaker. Yes, that litter, it's heavy from the grocery store. It's disgusting when it's soaked. It's a vacuum breaker when it scatters up. But you know what? Yeah. It's good for some really odd uses. Like, a lot of Canadians keep a bag of cat litter in the back of their trunks just in case they get stuck in the snow, because it really does provide good traction under your tires when you dump some of it. Yeah, and
well,
it's also good.
Here.
It's also good for when you clean up oil. When you're changing your oil, it's the best stuff for absorbing that pile of oil on your garage floor. But the thing is, you got to make sure that you're not confusing your cats. So if you use cat litter to soak up something that's really toxic to cats and you leave it in a dish on the floor of the garage, you're asking for trouble. So don't be soaking up antifreeze or anything like that. You got to really watch it. Ooh, Dr. Kathy, we only have 3 minutes left, but we're going to continue with this because I want you back in the next segment. Let's keep going, though. We got a couple more minutes to cover some more cold weather safety tips for pets. Please.
Okay. So a lot of people actually have their outside animals. We have our group of 8 kitties that I gave my husband this summer. One died. He needed 8 more.
I like your math. That's interesting mathematics. Okay.
He likes it, too. He's happy. He goes out and does head count 4 times a day, so everything's good. But, again, it's cold, and there's no way I would say, oh, yeah, it's okay to have your kitties outside when it's 0 degrees like this. He built these cats, a little cat house. It's insulated. He's got a tarp over it that's completely wrapped around, so they kind of like go through the flap of the tarp. And he even has a radiator heater inside. I was trying to find a missing cat, and no wonder he was missing. He was in there all snuggy. It was 70 degrees in there.
So nice. A heated outdoor hangout spot. What a cat lover. You married the right guy, Dr. Kathy.
He's doing okay. He does okay.
Okay. Oh, he gets 4 paws up from me and my cats. That is a good husband. That's a good one.
Oh,
most of them
smile.
Complain
like
about
that.
The pets. They don't build structures for them.
That's true. Yeah, for the most part, he's pretty good. He does complain every now and then, but he gets over it.
Well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions and jerky treats and some nasty business going on in Sochi. I don't know if you've heard about that. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio in just a minute with Deb Wolf and Dr. Kathy Alanovi. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy, and I love you. And you know that I need you too.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
With Deb Wolf and Dr. Kathy Alanovi, who's going to tell us, New Year's resolutions? Really? Do I have to promise to put my dog on a diet? Is that what this is about?
No, it's easier than that because I don't even do New Year's resolutions for myself. I know better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how about some easy ones, and I'll explain the reason behind them. So the first one would be to spend 10 minutes with your dog or your cat, because they'll both benefit, with a massage. How easy is that?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Purr time, cuddle time. Good. Okay. And it helps you too, right? I mean, it's a two-way street, that.
Absolutely. So it's bonding. There's lots of studies that show that humans and animals both get positive effects, so we all release some yummy beta endorphins and feel real good from that. You know, it's a big warm hug. But then how about that massage stimulating muscles, which stimulates the brain and only makes the dog or the cat's body work better, so that, like, if you have an older cat or a dog who has arthritis, that massage making things better, warming things up. And shoot, it even works for our hands. So it's just 10 minutes a day. You can do it, you know, in the morning. You can do it watching TV. You can do it while drinking your tea or coffee.
You know, one thing I like to point out to people is if you're watching a whole program on TV and you are not getting up and leaving during the commercials, you're just sitting there for the commercials, that's a really good way to check yourself. And usually I tell them, instead of just cuddling your dog, actually make your dog do one or two tricks every time there's a commercial break, and then cuddle him for the rest of the commercial break, and you'll find a couple shows later you've got a really well-behaved dog. So it's pretty easy.
Awesome. I love that. See, you've made the resolution even better.
There you go. Well, these resolutions, I don't know. Most people don't keep them, do they? Isn't it gym attendance at an all-time high in January, and then it's like completely dropped off by February?
Oh, yeah. Most resolutions are completely done by now, the second week of February. But I think that people are going to be more likely to do the resolutions if it's actually about their pet and not about themselves. And so, you know, just it's a bonus good resolution because they get something good out of it too. But if you don't really let them think about that part, then it's kind of sneaky and subversive, but everybody gets good benefit.
That's true. And you can assign these things to your kids, right? It doesn't just have to be you.
Well, that's true, because then you can have good bonding with the kid. I mean, you know, I've got 7 dogs in the house, so my daughter gets one and I get I get 6 and I can't do math. My husband gets 1, my daughter gets 1, and I get the rest. How
7
about that?
Dogs and 8 cats. I love it. I'd love to stay at your house. I feel at home. I have right now, because I have to say now, because the population changes, but right now I have 5 dogs, 5 permanent cats, and 1 visitor. So that's a lot. And there's one dog named Jack that my heart is with, even though I've never met him, and I'm hoping he's going to come soon. His owner died. He's in between homes. They're supposed to be getting him to me. So I kind of feel like I have 6 dogs. I'm going to, you know, rehome him, clean him up, get him straight, and find him a good home. But he's a 5-year-old border collie, and I'm so excited to meet him. But I haven't met him yet. So, Jack, if you're out there, get those people to bring you over, because a new life awaits you, buddy. I have a sad story and I want to tell it just quickly, and then we'll move on to some happy topics. There was something in the news out of a town here in British Columbia in Canada, but it could happen anywhere in America or Canada, anywhere really, and it's about those front-facing washers, front-loading washers. And what happened was, it's dark, it's warm, it's a really cool place to hide, and the people didn't realize that one of their kittens hid in there, and they did a wash and they drowned it. And so they're trying to get the word out to everybody. If you have a washing machine that is dark, any washing machine, before you turn it on, always make sure there are no pets inside. So I just wanted to get that out there. It's important. And I know we don't really hear about these things when they happen because they're just so mortifying. But it happens more than people think, I'm imagining, Dr. Kathy. How often do you have animals dying in preventable household accidents, would you say? Is it common?
Enough, for several times a year. And you're right, and it's not just the washing machines, but it's also the dryers. You know,
yeah,
how many times?
Warm.
You open the dryer, the load says that it's done, but you want to close it back up and run those couple of towels a little bit longer. And a playful kitty has plenty of time to run in there. And if you don't check, don't pay attention, we don't even leave the doors open in my house with as many as I have coming in and out. It's just not worth the risk. That's awful. I just, you don't even want to think about what the kitty went through.
Or the people. It's so terrible. It's just terrible.
Right.
Okay, so everybody be safe with things like that. Cats like to hide, you know, curiosity killed the cat, as they say. Well, they like to hide in little dark, warm spots. So you kind of have to expect it. Okay, well, on the other side of the world, there's some other news that I'm just reading about. And in the beautiful city of Sochi, where the Olympics are now already underway, kind of strange, they're already competing. Canada's already kicking ice, I gotta say, even though they haven't even done the opening ceremony. But we've already ranked twice and second and first and all this kind of stuff, skating and snowboarding. But there's dogs loose there, stray dogs, and they're being killed. Have you heard about this, Dr. Kathy?
I haven't. Tell me more. I'm not sure I really want to know, but...
Well, apparently thousands of stray dogs have been living amid the mud and rubble of Olympic construction sites, roaming the streets and the mountainsides and begging for scraps of food. And, you know, as the games got closer, they decided to catch them all and kill them all. And so what's happening is tourists and visitors and Olympians are seeing all these quite cute, lovable, you know, they're very stray. It's not like they're tame, but they're attractive-looking, furry, medium-sized dogs of various descriptions, some with spots and patches and speckles and that kind of thing. People are tossing them food. People are kind of connecting with them. And then these dogs are being rounded up and killed. And so the company that's involved in catching and disposing of the dogs is admitting they're doing this but refusing to specify how the dogs are being killed or where the carcasses are being taken. There's an accusation that they've been biting children, but no proof of that. And, you know, one dog ran into one of the stadiums, and so they're saying this is why they all have to be culled. I don't really like that word, cull. What do you think about the word cull?
Yeah, no, that's more talking about, you know, foot and mouth disease in cattle or something like that, something.
Yeah, it kind of gives a value judgment to it that I don't think they deserve on this matter. Cull is like for the good of the animal because the sickness is so bad. That's not this, is it?
No, the only argument is if the animal is rabid. You know, when you have that many strays, sure, rabies is a concern, but how hard? Because obviously this is part of the town's local culture, I'd say, really, because it was never a problem before, but now we got to doll it up for the outside world rather than say, hey, this is part of what's going on. And wow, how about asking for help from the outside? What would you suggest? What a great opportunity that would be for some great PR and help worldwide, maybe placing those dogs or some kind of a sanctuary or that sort of thing.
I totally agree with you. Okay, everybody, we'll be back in a minute talking more on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Maybe we can come up with an Olympic-sized situation, a solution that fits the humanity of the games. Stay tuned, everybody.
It'll be a smart solution.
There you go.
Anytime you're near. I love you.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with Deb Wolf, as always, and with me today is Dr. Kathy Alanovi, my horsey friend. She loves horses, probably more than I do, maybe not, hard to say. Hard to say how much someone loves something else, or hard to say how much someone's pain is, and I often wonder that about animals, you know? Like, you'll hear one child complaining. Oh, my arm's killing me, my arm's killing me. And you take that child to the doctor and it's nothing. And another child, you kind of notice and you say to that kid, does your arm hurt? Oh, no, it's fine. You take that child to the doctor and it's broken. So obviously these kids have different pain tolerances. And I kind of wonder, you know, what about animals? Do they have different pain tolerances? It seems like cats hide their pain. It seems like dogs usually show it. Is there a difference there, Dr. Kathy?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that goes to personality. Look at the kid who says, oh, it hurts. That's going to be your drama queen, right? And the quiet, reserved kid is going to be the one who doesn't even notice that things hurt. But look at personalities of animals, and they have the exact same personalities. They're going to be the fire dogs and the fire horses who are all, oh, and all dumpy, and oh my goodness, I broke a nail, I'm going to bleed to death.
Help me, right? Yes, take me to the doctor, I am wounded.
Right, but then there's the tough working dogs, like the cattle dogs, who they get kicked, they get a gash in their
side,
okay. And
they
keep doing their job.
It's okay, I'm fine with three legs. I can still work, don't worry about me. No, don't feed me, I got to work. Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Very different work
ethic. Same thing.
That's a huge difference. But are cats always going to hide their pain? It seems to me like cats, you push on a dog on its foot where it hurts and it screams or it winces or it pulls it back. You do that with a cat and, it gets pissed off, but it doesn't necessarily give away where it's hurting. Have you noticed that? Or is that just
some cats?
Some cats. Oh,
yeah. for the most part, I'm with you that cats like to tell stories. They like to fool us. They're going to hide things a little bit more, but they still tell. The thing, mm-hmm. I think that the cat signals are more subtle. So it's something like, you know, eyes not open as much, tail not as perky, not mm-hmm. grooming. And so the cat parent who notices that is the one who's really in tune with their cat. And so they'll notice it better. They're just different signals.
Yeah, and much more subtle, like you're saying. But then, you know, I think about the size of them, too, and how different it is. Like if you step on a little dog, right? And everybody's done it by accident. Most of us have a broken arm or something. Most of us, it's been, you know, you right away step off because the dog screams.
Right.
And you know, oh, I stepped on. Sorry, buddy. Okay. When you step on a cat, they usually don't say anything. It's like they are afraid to yell out in pain because they're
really?
So small. I think there's something to the prey thing there.
I think you have different cats than me.
Oh, really? Your cats would sound off?
Oh, some of them will sound off. And I have some patients that if I even look at them from across the room, they're going to scream and hiss at me. But that might be a personal thing.
You know, the only time I've encountered noisy cats was when I worked for a groomer briefly during an apprenticeship there, and we had to bathe these cats that were, you know, big long-haired cats that hadn't been groomed properly, so they were matted to the skin and they were in a mood. The second they arrived there, they knew where they were and they were pissed off, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so they were loud. But other than them, I've not met many loud cats. I wonder if being a cat at Camp Good Dog makes you quiet. It's possible.
Maybe that's what it is, because they're an awful lot of talkative cats. They just come in and they just meow, 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 and they're just going to talk the whole time they're in. It may just be Camp Good Dog cat, quiet, mellow.
They have no choice. I wonder from years ago when I used to do cat sitting, I do remember that Siamese, to me, seemed to be very talkative. Is that just the ones I met, or is that a breed thing?
Nope. That is the stereotype. Siamese have a lot to say, and they're going to tell you about it, and they're always going to tell you about it, and they like to pounce on you. And then the other stereotype that you can make about cats is if it's a calico or a tortie, she's going to have a tooth, and she is going to tell you what it is.
Uh-huh. My calico is just a little bit unpredictable. Most of the time she's afraid and hiding, and then once in a blue moon she'll just come out and purr and rub against you like she wasn't afraid the rest of the time. And you never know when she's going to have her out mood or her in mood. I've owned her over 10 years, and she mostly hides. But every once in a while, she's like lovey and affectionate with the kids and me, and then not for another week or two. So she's a bit unusual. But, you know, you kind of have to take your animals as they come to you in some ways. Like in her case, she was rescued from some very horrible situation a long time ago. So, you know, considering that, she's doing amazingly well.
Yeah, and that's going to have such an impact.
But, you know, cats and dogs, the ones I've worked with, the ones I've seen, they can make remarkable recoveries from horrible abuse in ways that I don't know if humans can the same way recover, you know?
I think you're right. Dogs especially are incredibly forgiving for the most part. They'll forgive and come back, and as humans, we don't forgive like that. We hold grudges.
You know, I was interviewing Stan Coren. He's kind of a friend of mine. We toured together on a book tour once, and he's a professor, doctor, psychology guy. And on this topic, he says it goes by breed, and that's why he has a special needs child he looks after, and he chose a beagle because he says beagles forgive. They don't even care. You hit them today, they'll forgive you tomorrow. You hit them tomorrow, they'll forgive you the next day, over and over and over. Whereas standard poodles, he says, and that's what I have, he says, they'll hold a grudge for life. You cross them, if a kid hurts them, they'll never go near that kid again. They'll remember that kid forever as a danger. And he's got this kid that's a little too physical, so he needs a dog who forgets. Right? It's interesting. But I wonder, we have to go to break. We only have 2 minutes left. Do you find that with certain breeds that they're a little bit more difficult at the vet clinic, a little more forgiving or a little less forgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone thinks the scariest dog to come into a vet clinic is a pit bull. Nah, I love them. Biggest problem? Chihuahuas.
Chihuahuas? Oh, no. Why? Attitude or fear?
Attitude. They're either super laid back or they are on fire and want to rip you to shreds and belong to one person and one person only.
The worst carrying on I ever heard at a vet's office was from somebody's pot-bellied pig, and it had to have a vaccine, and it screamed like a child in a panic attack for minutes afterwards. It was just horrible.
Poor
Is that
pig.
Typical? Is that typical?
Oh, is that typical? Yeah, pigs like to complain.
Pigs
they
complain
do,
too.
And they're very loud. And the pot-bellied pigs are just as loud as the big pigs. And, yeah, and they're very spoiled. If they're pet pot-bellied, then they're spoiled.
Yeah, you can tell by the outfit, right? If they're wearing Prada, you know you're in trouble.
Right.
Gucci.
But then you got a diva.
Oh, well, we only have a couple minutes left on this segment. We talked about New Year's resolutions and cold weather tips. What about the beef jerky? Are you telling me there's still tainted jerky being sold for pets? Is that what you wanted to say today? I can't believe people are still buying that.
All that stuff that got pulled off the market last year is all back.
No.
Same companies. Oh, yeah, same label, same source. The law has not changed. It's the same product. It's back.
And pets are dying, right? They get liver and kidney failure. Is that what happens to them and pretty quick?
Yes, and they can just fall over dead within 24 hours, like one patient that I had. Yep, products back on the shelves.
And there's so nothing wrong with your dog. You buy this thing that looks like jerky. It might even say it was made in America or made in Canada, but it wasn't. It was packaged there or repackaged there or something was done to it in America or Canada, but it isn't usually from here, right? And then it's got something in it that kills dogs and cats, and we know it, right? That's the deal.
Right.
And it's still on the shelves.
It's back. Right. They've taken it off and now it's back. And so buyer beware. Yep.
So if anybody out there listening right now wants to buy their dog jerky treats, should they just not do it? Should they just buy something else?
Please buy bacon. Just fry up some bacon and give little bits.
Bacon or, well, chicken livers are nice sometimes.
Sure.
There's lots of things you can cook for your dog that's in like the frozen section at the butcher. Some of it won't even cost you, right?
Right.
Okay,
although
we gotta go to break. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
You know
I really do.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear conscience pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA from family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf, calling from Camp Good Dog up here in Canada. And the other day I was out and about, Dr. Kathy, I just said that like a Canadian, I know. But I was out and about and I ran into someone with a dog at the office, an adorable dog, who was responding to me a little oddly. And I found out he was deaf. And then I found out that this lady has 2 dogs and she's got some dog questions for us today, Dr. Kathy. So I think we should take this call. All right, so welcome to the show, Cassandra. Have you got a question for me and for Dr. Kathy?
Hi, yes, I do. I have 2 miniature Australian shepherds. One is Jersey. He's 2 years old. He is deaf. He was born deaf. And with his deafness came a lot of separation anxiety, extreme separation anxiety, to the point where he was hyperventilating when left alone. He would destroy everything in the house. We tried all these different things. We tried the sweaters. We tried a DAP diffuser. We tried music, which, of course, doesn't work, TV on for motion. We tried freezing, like, chicken soup in his bowl, leaving treats around the house, but nothing has worked.
Well, Cassandra, first I want to say good on you for trying all of that, because that's great. And the Thunder shirt is an option. And I know when we were talking, I think I suggested, or you told me, that there's a companion dog. And when your nervous, separation, anxiety-ridden dog is with that other really mellow dog, he's cool. So that's kind of an interesting aspect. So I want to just open it up for Dr. Kathy. So there's our problem, Dr. Kathy. What can you suggest for Cassandra?
Okay. That's some great information. So let me ask you some questions. How old was the deaf dog when you got him?
He was a puppy, so he was I think, like 10 or 11 weeks old.
Did you know right away that he was deaf, or did you figure that out?
No, it took us about 2 weeks to figure out. He wasn't responding to people at the door. He wasn't responding to his name being called. He even wasn't responding to the kibble in the dish, and we just kind of clued in, and it was someone who suggested it, so we decided to trial the test, putting coins in a metal jar, banging on pots and pans, and no reaction.
Okay.
And so what do you still feed kibble do you feed other food? What do you feed?
I feed him a raw dog food diet. So kibble is out throughout the day, but he does eat a raw dog food diet.
Okay, good. So you've because I find an awful lot of dogs that are really nervous and upset on a lot of them, you can make it better by putting them on a raw diet. So you might think about
he's been on it.
Okay, but you say that you have kibble
out
all
day. Yeah, you might have to remove the kibble because if he's combining the two, it's still all those additives and chemicals are still getting into his system and it might be wiring him up. Is that what you're saying,
Dr. Pat? He rarely eats kibble. Like very, very, very rarely eats kibble. He barely touches it. Almost never.
Okay, so let me just throw out one more thing about that, is that if you're allergic to something, all it takes is one bite.
Okay.
But you know, and so then
what
you
could
also
she
have
do
to
instead? Could she leave some raw vegetables in a bowl when she goes to work?
You can, but does he really need that? Or how about something like peanut butter or almond butter in like one of those?
He doesn't like any of that. He doesn't like vegetables.
Really?
And he doesn't like peanut butter. He doesn't. I've tried the almond butter. When I'm out of the house, he will not eat anything. Not treats, bones, nothing.
Okay. Do you know what's interesting about that? When I'm training dogs, I will oftentimes check, even though I don't really use food as part of my training, I will check to see if they're willing to eat. Because if a dog is too stressed, he won't eat. So this is a really stressed dog, Dr. Kathy. But when he's with this other dog, not her dog, I don't think. I think it's a different dog. When he's with this other mellow, older dog, he's totally okay to be alone, which I found a really interesting fact on this case.
Huh. Okay. So have you tried medication? There are things, you know, and you wouldn't even have to do like Prozac. There are some herbal formulas that can help with calming. Or what about rescue remedy?
I haven't tried any of those yet.
Okay.
Remedy is fairly easy to get a hold of and easy to use. So that might be something you could try when he seems really stressed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, he's okay if I leave him with the other dog. The other dog has a really good temperament. And it's just when he's absolutely alone, it's impossible to have him alone.
Okay. Does he have to be absolutely alone? Because maybe it's as easy as having that security blanket for him.
It's almost like a blind person with a seeing eye dog. He's got like a PTSD dog. What about the other dog, though? I think you told me your other dog is afraid of something. Like was it a lion or is that not right?
It's close. When I was hiking up at Mount Seymour, he got attacked by a cougar. And he used to be such a playful dog and just loved playing with dogs, not really scared of anything. And since he was attacked by a cougar, he has completely changed, being scared of creeks in the bushes. A firework or a firecracker goes off and he's hiding under the bed and doesn't like playing with big dogs, scared of basically most dogs now.
Well, you know what? With him, what's happened is he had something trigger of his fear. And now he's kind of generalized out. He's saying, not only am I afraid of cougars, but I'm afraid of anything like that day. Anything big, anything heavy, anything woody, anything like that day. So the trick is to expose him to lots of experiences that are like that day, but without the fear. Little bits of it. So maybe don't throw him in a creek. Don't go right back to that very place. But go for a walk near a creek. Go for a walk near a forest. Start doing things that are similar, but no fear happens. Everything's relaxed, everything's good, it's short and sweet and a happy ending. And he'll start to figure out that, okay, it was just that park on that day with that cougar. It wasn't all big animals, it wasn't all rivers, it wasn't every time I go for a walk in the woods. I can go for a walk in the woods and most of the time it's fine. But you do have dogs do that where, you know, something specific will spook them, like a train, and then they'll start to generalize out and be scared of cars and any loud noises, and then it becomes closing doors. And so you kind of have to catch it quick and turn it around. Teach him that, you know what, you're safe. There's so many times when you're safe in situations like this, because it would be a real shame for him to lose all that. What do you think, Dr. Kathy? How can we help her with her older dog that's become afraid after a life-death experience?
I like those suggestions. And another one that I'm thinking of is, have you heard of emotional freedom technique?
No.
You'll actually find it, like if you look in the phone book or online, you'll find a practitioner who works on humans, but it works the same in animals. And it's positive affirmations and helping the body reset and relearn, like Deb is suggesting, to put the dog or the cat, you know, who's had this horrible traumatic experience into similar experiences. It's just another way to reset the brain to, you know, have positive outcomes and not think, I'm going to get attacked, because your dog is now in fight or flight mode and constantly mm-hmm. in the flight mode. And can you imagine the stress and ulcers and all that sort of thing?
Well, that's it, right? So, it will become physical, Cassandra. I don't want to alarm you, but if an animal is constantly under stress, it's like being held captive as a hostage, or you're in a bomb shelter. You know, that kind of stress where you think every minute you could be attacked by a cougar, every minute. That's cancer causing. That's heart problem causing. So I'd like to see you get a handle on this so your dog gets it, that, you know what, it was one time only. And I don't need to be afraid of every park, forest, river, every walk, right? We got to get your dog out of that fear mode.
So go for a walk. Yeah, he has been okay so far. Like, they are active dogs, so I take them for walks twice a day, and the second walk in the day is usually done in our, like, mountains and golden ears and trails, so they're
beautiful.
Open to doing the trail walks all off-leash, and he is okay, but still, though, those creaks or anything in the bush, his tail goes straight down and he runs in between my legs. But, I mean, he's exposed to many, many walks. I still take him to the dog park and introduce him to the big dogs.
Okay, so when he runs between your legs, I would suggest you right away teach him a new trick, like through, which is a zigzag walk. You know, you've seen people perform mm-hmm. it at the super dogs and stuff like that, where they're walking and the dog cuts through their legs back and forth and back and forth. So as soon as you see him panicking like that and he's racing toward you, shout out the command through. And when he arrives at you, actually gently guide him through using his collar, put a leash on him if you want, gently guide him through and teach him how to zigzag walk. And so what'll happen is when he gets afraid, he'll just come zigzag walk. Instead of kind of panicking at your feet and needing love and encouragement and cuddling and maybe inadvertently rewarding him for being afraid, mm-hmm. you'll get him doing something that requires his mind to engage, his body to engage.
That's a great idea.
I think it'll work. Right. Border collies, Australian shepherds, they want to be busy. And if he's busy thinking of his fear, it'll help you to keep him busy thinking of something else. So he doesn't just, his fallback isn't his anxiety, because he sounds like a pretty anxious guy.
So also give him some positive command, positive mental state. So start out with some lavender essential oil on a kerchief around his neck, the rescue remedy, so that he's already a level calmer while you go through all that. So he's less likely to go into that panic mode. We've got a little bit of calming signals on board that helps. Too, that's going to reinforce and make this just be more positive for both of you.
Each time you do one of these walks and it's successful and nothing happens, nothing dangerous, nothing fearful, it's good. Like each time he learns something, right? So we just want to have lots of them. Even if it's 5 minutes, get back in the car, drive somewhere else, 5 minutes, get back there. You just want him to have lots and lots of positive, happy experiences where there's no cougar.
Right. Yeah, he's been doing that, and he's been pretty good. I think it's slowly but surely, but I'll try the remedies you mentioned. I think that's a good idea for him.
Nice.
That'll be nice to have both of them together helping each other feel better. That'll be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of go up together, so they're very good together, but they both have their share of problems.
Isn't that funny that they gravitate together like that? That's interesting.
I'm sorry, I wasn't getting your IMs. Okay, well, we'll have to come up with an ending somewhere in there. I'm sorry, Dawn. I was just, I should tell Dr. Kathy and Cassandra, we're off air now, but I didn't realize we'd run over and I could not see the screen.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Well, we've run over.
Thank you very much.
The show was so good, Doctor.
Thank you.
And Dr. Kathy and Cassandra, I just couldn't cut you off. It was just too good. I hope we've helped you a little bit, Cassandra, with your Australian Shepherd.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for the suggestions. I'll definitely try them out.
Oh, okay. Will you call us back in a couple of weeks and let us know how it went?
Sure. I definitely will.
Thank you. Okay. And Dr. Kathy, until next time, I hope you're enjoying the Year of the Horse.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Be good to your animals. From me, Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're